Launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear brethren, this gospel was traditionally the Sunday before the feast of St. Peter and Paul, traditionally. But now it's fixed on the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. And so this year it is two Sundays before the feast of St. Peter and Paul. Now, the background behind the gospel narration is this. Capernaum is on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and Simon and Peter had gone there to live. They were already disciples of Jesus, but they had not left everything. Jesus had arrived at Capernaum the night before, and he had cured the mother-in-law of Peter from a fever. Now, while Jesus was preaching, the crowd grew and grew, and he was at risk of being pushed into the lake. So he saw Simon Peter's boat and used it as his pulpit. When the sermon was finished, Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Peter hesitated and came up with a reason why this was not really a good idea. "We've been out all night and caught nothing. What's the point? What's the point?" But then he did nevertheless follow Jesus's command. The boat was so full of fish that Simon had to ask James and John to help him with the catch. And then Peter, overwhelmed with remorse for his sinful life before this evident miracle, and also in the presence of goodness itself, our Lord Jesus Christ, says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus replies, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Now, this story of the gospel is so rich in symbolism and implication and lessons for us to learn. The boat, of course, is a symbol of the church from which Jesus teaches us. And then we know from the catechism, how do you know what God has revealed? I know what God has revealed by the testimony, teaching, and authority of the church. So Jesus teaches us through his church. And Jesus teaches the whole world from Peter's boat. And that's why it's called the church is called the Bark of Peter, this gospel today, Peter's boat. And Peter, another lesson we can learn from this is Peter, by himself, achieved nothing. He was laboring all night, caught no fish. But when Jesus asked him to rely on him, just trust me, launch out into the deep, he caught more fish than he could manage. His success was beyond his imagination. He had to ask for help. It was so great. And so it is, my dear brethren, with us. From this boat, the church, Peter caught only men. He left all things and became a disciple, and exclusively of Jesus. And he embraced the evangelical counsels, poverty, chastity, and obedience. He abandoned the world. Now, obviously, the lessons for us in this gospel are manifest and clear to see. The world is not a mistress who loves us, who is interested in us. The world uses us. And we give so much for the world. We sacrifice ourselves so much for the world's opinion, for the world's goods, its wealth. We can't imagine living without getting along with the world. Of course, we have to earn a living. Of course, we have to be members of society. We can't hide away, we're not hermits. And we have to participate in public life. Yes, but the world should not be our mistress. Our vocation is not to be a member of the world. And I remember before I entered seminary, I worked for a big company, big corporate, multinational. And their reward they gave you, of course, they gave you a nice salary. But after 20 years of service, the women who worked for them got a gold chain with a gold logo of the company that they could swear around it. I thought, is this what it all comes to? And also, at this company, it was a company that, the same company that made Agent Orange and Napalm. and it was considered the greatest reward, an accolade, that after 20 years you'd get a necklace with their logo on. It was absolutely, and then this is what the world can give you. And for those who serve the world, are slaves to the world, we only have to look in the press and the media. Their lives are a mess. All of the great celebrities, the politicians, I mean, look at Joe Biden. He has sold his soul. Nancy Pelosi, Catholics, sold their soul to mammon. And what are they? They are ridiculous in the eyes of any thinking man. They don't follow reason. They're playing a game, a child's game, but also a game which is evil, you know, in their support of abortion and essentially anything which isn't the social teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're slaves to this world, and it will give them nothing at the end. It will ridicule them. It'll cast them off. Now, so what does it take for us to see the world as it is and then launch out into the deep? Leave it behind and throw ourselves into the arms of the church. Throw ourselves into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ and follow his message. What will it take for us to see it? I mean, at the moment, we've got a world which is having us labour in fear, cower in fear over an invisible enemy, this COVID nonsense. And okay, so there's always a little grain of truth, but it's so distorted. Dividing society, dividing families, destroying economies, increasing surveillance and control. And this is the world that we, so many people give their lives for, and which they put all of their dependence and hope. Surely it's not difficult to leave such a world. One analogy I was thinking in the car, Charles Dickens, if you're familiar with the novel of Charles Dickens, in Great Expectations, Miss Havisham, who's an embittered woman, who was jilted at the altar. And then so her whole mission in life is to actually take her revenge on mankind, the men in the world. And so she trains up this really lovely, lovely orphan girl, Estella, and trains her to hate all men and then capture their hearts and then break their hearts. So this poor girl, who's brought up in this world, follows the direction of her mistress, Miss Havisham, and then she attempts to break a man's heart and has her heart broken instead, and her life destroyed. And so it is with the world. We go along with this world. It will eventually break us. It promises us all riches and power and happiness, and it will break us. It will break us. So we don't need really much imagination to see that launching into the deep, living our faith integrally, is not a big ask. It's not something difficult. We are reluctant to let go of Miss Havisham or Ebenezer Scrooge and Bob Cratchit, another parallel. I mean, the world is Ebenezer Scrooge. And Bob Cratchit is the poor slave of Scrooge, and his life is a misery. And surely it shouldn't take much to cast out into the deep, launch out into the deep, leave it behind, make those sacrifices that you need to live an integrally Catholic life. There's something beautiful that happened on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. I put it on the website. You might have seen it. It was the taking of the habit ceremony of the Consoling Sisters of the Sacred Heart in Italy. Now, this is a community close to my heart because the origins of its flourishing were in India. And I watched the whole story happening. I'll tell you the quick story. There was an Indian girl working in America, an IT. And she's very well educated, come from a well-to-do family. And she found in her free time she would be helping the homeless on the streets of Washington, D.C. And then the thought struck her, why am I doing this in the wealthiest country of the world? I should be doing this back home. So she went back to India, and then she came from a prominent family. The bishop gave her a house or a property in which she opened up an orphanage, an old people's home and an orphanage, a combination of the two. Really lovely idea, combining the two things. And then within no time, she had 100 people she was looking after, and she had volunteers helping her. And then she went for the first time to an old rite mass, Tridentine mass, and she said, this is it. And then she went on a retreat. It was actually a society mass. And then the retreat master was, funny enough, Don Davide Pagliorani, the superior general of the society. And this is when he was a missionary out passing through India. So he preached a retreat there. And then she said, I've got a vocation. I need to try a vocation. And the superior there at the time, Father Couture, is saying, okay, this is going to be a tough one, because if you try a vocation, you know, basically you're going to have to close down, send all these people away, and they've got nowhere to go. And he said, right, I have to pray about this and rely on Providence. I want you to go. There's two congregations of sisters that look after old people in Europe. There's the Raffles sisters in France and the Consoling sisters in Italy. Knock on their door and say, if you take on my orphanage in India, I'll become one of your postulants. You would have thought, that's a big ask. That's something that's really tough. And then, of course, the Raffles sensibly said, that won't work, I'm sorry. And then the Consoling Sisters of the Sacred Heart, there must have been only about 10 sisters. They looked after only a couple of old people. And obviously, they were touched by grace, and they already have abundance of charity in them because they're jolly Italians. And they said, let's have a look. And so they sent a delegation out to India. And they said, yes, we'll do it. And then so they sent somebody out to look after the orphanage, took this girl and fast-tracked her to receive a habit. And when she went back to India, and that's just when I arrived in India, just before she came back. And she had then sent more Indian girls to Italy to be trained up as nuns. And so now they've got a community of, I think, about 7 in India. And all the volunteers, while I was there, that came through India, all the girl volunteers, went to the orphanage. And essentially what they were doing is they were living the religious life with the sisters, but every moment of the day were taken up with acts of charity towards the old people and the kiddies who are so lovable, you know, innocent, bright-eyed kids. India scores 10 on the smile index. Now, the smile index is if you smile at somebody randomly in the street and you get a smile back, they get a score. And in India, you get the 10 out of 10. So the kids are really happy and smiley. And they're innocent. You know, they don't have Xboxes and, you know, mobile phones and things like that. Well, unfortunately, they are beginning to now. But anyway, the girls who went over there were so happy in living this life away from the world, totally given to charity, that many of them said, I can do this. This is a vocation. I could do this. And then so some of them joined the Consoling Sisters. Some of them went back, told their sisters and friends about it, sent more volunteers back over. And then more girls joined the Consoling Sisters. And so it turned out that on Feast of the Sacred Heart, there were 11 young ladies taking the habit in this small, tiny community. And then they've expanded to 40 plus now. The photo, look on the website, it brings a tear to the eye. Just the sanctuary filled with all of these bridal gowns, these women giving themselves to God, launching into the deep. And then it's the same for all of you. It's all of you, not just in relation to religious vocations, but leaving behind the world. We can do this. To live an integrally Catholic life. You don't rely on news, the BBC above all. Don't switch it up. It's all lies. It's all lies. It'll never fill your brain, your mind with truth. It'll never give you a love of that which is most lovable, our Lord Jesus Christ. Leave it behind. If you've got children, you know, fortunately, many of you are still forced to send your children to local schools. Is there any way of making the sacrifice, make it, to take them out of the schools? And then we have St. Michael's School, the only integrally Catholic school in the country. And we don't have enough pupils. We don't have enough enrolments for next year. It's always financially in deficit. It is now honed to really down. It's the most efficient it's ever been in terms of cost cutting and organisation. It's in the best state it's ever been. All we need are children. So spread the word. Have parents, you know, really look into it. And there's no child, there's nobody who cannot go to St. Michael's School because they don't have the money. Because we've got a system in place whereby if somebody can't afford the fees, they can be assessed by an independent third-party company, specialist company, And then they'll say, right, look at your finances. This is what you can afford. And then we will take the child if people are paying what they can afford. They can afford. So there's no really no excuses. Of course, the only problem is that it's only boys can board in the senior. Otherwise, it's in the day schools. But really, we do have to make those sacrifices. We do have to make the sacrifices. Change the way we live. And give it all to God, in imitation of the saints, in imitation of all of those people who have followed their vocations, not only in the religious life, not only in the priestly vocation, but also the vocation of the married life, living in the world, but living for, ultimately, our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us ask for this grace, my dear brethren, during this Mass, that we may launch into the deep, leave behind the world, which will never love you, and certainly will never bring you happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.